And for the rest of you, you can open up to Exodus chapter 20. We were there just a few minutes ago. If you also want to put a thumb at Acts 19, we're going to look at a story there that kind of illustrates this third commandment. And so we're looking at the third commandment today. So we've learned in the last few weeks that there's one true God who is worthy of our praise, that's worthy of our worship, that we should focus on. And we learned the week before when we learned about the second commandment, that we can't reconfigure God into our own, what we want him to be. God gets to decide who he is, and he gets to decide who he is and who he wants to be. And so we need to worship the right God the right way is basically what we learn in the second commandment. Now we're moving on to this third commandment, which is not to take the Lord's name in vain. It's a common phrase that we say all the time, but I also will say we may not fully understand and grasp the kind of the totality of what this commandment is. And so growing up, you know, you always think about, okay, what are you going to name your kids, right? Yeah, girls probably think about that more than boys do growing up. But you're dreaming about, okay, what am I going to name my kids? I mean, even my daughter Lydia has said, I'm going to name my kids this. And even Gabe has actually had kids' names for himself. They're kind of weird, but in the sense, like, it's what a boy would say my kids' names are going to be. But as you grow up, you get married, you know, you're expecting your first child, even your first couple of children, you will spend months and months looking at names, right? You're going to look through the baby book name. You're going to Google names. You're going to go through, okay, what does this name mean? What does that name mean? And then you start to look at, okay, let's look at the first, middle, and last. Let's look at the initials, make sure that doesn't spell something weird. And so you want to make sure, like, everything's going to be perfect with your child's name. Now, even though you may spend months, you may get to the hospital and still have no clue what you're going to name this baby. And you're like, when it comes out, I'll look at it as like, it's a Lydia or it's a Gabe or whatever. It's like, it just, that's what they look like. But whatever the name is, it's clear that the parents will do the naming of the child. The child does not get the name itself, right? The child does not get, under any circumstance, the child doesn't come out as like, I want to be named Leo, you know, or whatever, you know. The child doesn't get the name, that the parents give the children the name. Now, in contrast, no one ever named God, right? God's true name is revealed and chosen by God himself. We do not get to tell God who he is. He gets to say who he is. And God's name must come before all other names. My name can't come before God. Your name can't come before God. God's name comes before anybody and anything else. Now, the third commandment really defends the honor of God's great name. That's really what the third commandment is all about. It's defending God's name. And now, God's name is much more than a name. It communicates kind of his glory in creation, his glory in redemption. And so God's name deserves much reverence and much honor. It should not be taken lightly. Now, if you look at kind of Old Testament names, they had a lot of meaning to it. Like today's names, like now Courtney and I did look, it's like, okay, what does Gabe mean? What does Lydia mean? Half the time parents aren't naming kids based on kind of what the meaning of that name is. It's just not as much of a thing now as it was back in biblical times. In Hebrew days, their names were basically inseparable from the actual person, all right? It's kind of expressed the person's inward identity. So Abraham meant the father of multitudes, which makes sense for him, right? You name a kid the father of multitudes, he's the father of multitudes. We see that, all right? And the name Esau means hairy. I mean, poor guy was named hairy from the beginning. He was going to be hairy when he got older, and he was, right? Well, Jacob, his name was deceiver. And I'm just like, why do you name a kid that? Why do you name your son deceiver? If you know that his name is closely related to who he is on the inside, well, don't be surprised when he deceives you, right? Like, if you name him deceiver, it's like, yep, had that one coming. I named him that from the beginning, right? So their names were closely tied to their inward person, who they were. And so the same is true with God. When we use God's name, we're referring to who his divine being is, his essence. Now, most people look at this command and, you know, you just kind of lump it in. It's like, well, don't say God's name in kind of a vulgar or in a rude or profane way. Now, granted, do not do that. That would be taking the Lord's name in vain because you're not honoring his name. You're not respecting his name. But I'm going to show you today that that's really not all what this command is telling us. It actually has a whole lot more about how we actually take the Lord's name in vain with not only our words, but with our life. Think with me for just a moment. In Genesis 1, we were created in the image of God. Yeah, we bear, human beings are the only part of God's creation that actually bear the image of God. There's something in us that reflects who God is. And so when we bear his image as Christians, we also bear his name. So as a believer, I, Danny, bear Christ's name because I have received Christ. And not only do I bear God's image in creation, but because I'm a Christian, I bear God's name. So not only do I want to honor God by how I talk, but I also want to reflect in my life God's character and his honor. And if we claim to be Christians, yet we live in a way that does not reflect his honor and his reverence and doesn't reflect his beauty and his holiness, then that means I'm taking his name in vain because I'm bearing his name. So to treat him like something worthless is to say basically that God himself is worthless. And so in just a minute, I'm going to actually walk through many different ways that we actually can take the Lord's name in vain. But I want to give you kind of an example in the Bible of someone taking the Lord's name in vain and doing something that just totally gives a false impression, not honoring, not glorifying God in his name whatsoever. It's in Acts chapter 19. All right? This is a story when Paul is in Ephesus. And so in this story, we're introduced to these seven guys called the seven sons of Sceva. It sounds like somebody from The Godfather. Like, these guys, like, don't do anything wrong because the seven sons of Sceva is going to hack you. You know, you're like you don't mess. It sounds like, but they weren't like that in any way whatsoever. Now, we know that when Paul was in Ephesus, God moved. Paul was baptizing people. He was healing people. He performed many signs and wonders in Jesus' name. So Paul was really having this incredible ministry there in Ephesus. Look what it says in verse 11 in chapter 19. It said, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses and were cured and the evil spirits left them. So we see Paul doing these incredible things. Well, there were those seven guys that I had just mentioned. Well, they were watching Paul's ministry. And they were watching his ministry extremely close. And they begin to notice that when Paul started to say, in Jesus' name, and then Paul would say, be healed, or, you know, spirit come out, that those spirits would obey in Jesus' name. They're like, okay, well, if Paul is just going around saying, in Jesus' name, spirit, do this, in Jesus' name, be healed, and Paul's getting this following, he's getting all this recognition, it's like, we would like that too. So we're just going to go around and start saying, in Jesus' name, do this and do that, and we're going to get the same following that Paul is getting. We're getting the same recognition that he's getting. So they wanted to use Jesus' name for their own kind of wonder, for their own kind of reputation, and so they could get built up. But things did not work out how they anticipated them to work out. Look in verses 13 through 16 now. So some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered him, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You want to talk about the ultimate diss? The evil spirits look at these dudes and is like, I know Jesus, I know Paul, I don't know who you are. It's like, I'm not scared of you. And so I'm not sure why it told us they were wounded, because if they tell me they ran out bleeding and naked, I'm pretty sure that you got beat pretty physically, emotionally, and psychologically from that beating. And to understand this story is really to understand the third commandment. The sons of Sceva misused God's name by employing it, trying to do some type of magic trick so that they could get the same recognition that Paul was getting. They wanted to use God's name for their own personal advantage. And God didn't like that. He didn't hold them guiltless. They actually had to pay for what they did. But the most significant part of this story happened in verse 17. And look at that. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was held in high honor. And that is what ultimately the third commandment is wanting. It's wanting us to revere and honor the name of God. And God's name preserved his name here by refusing to let some guy just use his name flippantly for his own honor. And now the Greeks and the Jews know that God's name here is above every name. They know, it's like, okay, you just can't misuse his name. You can't just use God for however you want to use him. You have to use it rightly. So that brings us to the question then, how do we misuse God's name? How do we take the Lord's name in vain? Well, I think I have about five or six things here that I kind of want to run through with you that I think how we take the Lord's name in vain. I think the first thing we kind of see from this story. First, we associate God's name to things that it should not be associated with. The seven sons were just going around trying to manipulate God for their own prestige and for their own following. But God was actually not in what they were doing. They were just using God's name. They were just attaching God's name to what they wanted to do. It wasn't God leading it, but they were leading it, trying to throw God into it, and they were associating God with what they were doing when God was never in it in the first place. Today, we try to attach God's name to what we're doing, but in all actuality, it's not what God is leading us to do. We're like, okay, I'm wanting to do this, so I'm just going to throw God's name in on it, and surely he'll bless me because I'm throwing his name in on it. You know, we throw God's name on certain ideologies or political parties or whatever it is, just say, hey, God, you're in this with me. And God's like, I'm not in any of it. You know, we all know Facebook. Y'all probably have a Facebook account. A while back, my Facebook account was hacked, and you know, the hacker put all this stuff on my page, sent messages out to all these people. Well, he was doing it acting like I was doing that stuff, right? He was putting stuff on my page that was like, well, I didn't put that stuff on my page, but my name was attached to it. He was sending messages out to all these people, all these friends, like, what is this, Danny? Like, where's this come from? I was like, I didn't send that to you. But my name got attached to all this stuff that I didn't want it attached to. It's like, I don't stand for that stuff. I don't agree with that stuff. I don't want you using my name in that regards. And that's what we do with God. Like, God, I'm doing this over here. I'm going to throw your name on it because it just sounds good when your name's attached to something that I'm doing. Even though he may not be in it at all. So many times we try to attach God's name to something so that we can get popularity, so that we can get a following, maybe we can get support, maybe we can get some pats on the back. Because we're throwing his name out there. It's basically, we're like a TV evangelist, you know. Pay me $25.99 and I'll give you this hanky or some holy water and you'll get God's blessing on it, you know. They throw God's name on a hanky and like, you know, they try to get rich from it, you know. And God's saying that he doesn't want to be associated. That's taking his name in vain. It's taking it lightly, not showing his true character or what his name means. Do you attach God's name to something you're doing or trying to manipulate God to get your own way? Do you use God's name to make yourself look more holy than what you are? Let's see, second, when we make our name more famous than we make God's. We are so reluctant to give anybody else credit over us, right? We want us to get all the glory. We have a desire. We have a heart that desires recognition. We have a heart that desires praise. You know, we don't want Christ's name to be heard around the world. We want our name to be heard around the world. You know, we take John 3:30, which says he must increase and I must decrease, and we reverse it. We say I must increase and he must decrease because we want our name to be more famous than his. Listen, taking the Lord's name in vain is making our name more precious than his. It's when we try to advance our own name and not his name, which is the name above all names. You want to honor his name above yours. Third, when we use God to sell merchandise or advertising gimmick. You've all seen the bumper stickers. Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is my co-pilot. You know, are you following Jesus this closely type of stuff. Or maybe church signs, you don't know how many times I've got on my knees and thank God we don't have a sign out front to where we can put messages on. Because when I drive down the road and I see church signs and I see some of the stuff that they put on it, it just turns on the inside of me. You know, you've seen them like stop, drop, and roll won't work in hell. Jesus is my Prozac. Or come hang out with Jesus because he hung for you. You know, like, Jesus isn't a gimmick. He's not just this little catchphrase. Listen, the people, the Hebrews in the Old Testament wouldn't even say his name because they didn't want to mispronounce his name. And we throw Jesus around like he's just this gimmick, he's this catchphrase, and it's taking his name lightly. It's not honoring, it's not revering his name like his name should be revered. It's just like a little catchy phrase. And I'm just going to be honest with you. None of those catchy things even work. Like, if anything, lost people look at your sign like, those are crazy people in there. Like, honestly, like, they've told me that before. Like, a lost person has literally told me, he's like, I wouldn't go to that church because they just have crazy signs. Like, if that's the case, then you aren't representing Jesus in the right way. And so we want to make sure that we don't throw his name in a gimmicky way, but we revere it and we honor it. Fourth, and just let me go back to that last one. You're not only breaking the third commandment with that, you're breaking the second commandment as well with that one as well. Fourth, we do not worship him in a way that honors God. We take God's name in vain when our worship is sloppy and half-hearted. You know, if someone walked into our church today, would they ask, where's God? Or would they feel his presence? Or do they see in our worship how valuable God is to us? If they can't see when we worship how valuable God is, then maybe our worship is not really honoring and revering his name and who he is like it's supposed to. Do your thoughts wander in prayer? When you read scripture, do your eyes just kind of gloss over it? And is your mind not open to God's word and what it needs to say to you? Is our worship careless and casual and insincere? If that's the way our worship is, then it dishonors God. It's taking who he is lightly. It's not really showing everybody how much we honor and revere God's name. Fifth, when we openly live in sin after becoming a Christian and taking on his name, which I mentioned this a little bit before. I knew a guy in high school, and he played baseball with me. He just really wanted to be popular. He wanted to be the most popular guy in all the school. So he did what you would do to try to get popular in high school. You know, he would go out and drink, he smoked, he had all the girls, you know, he got in the fights when he needed to. And granted, he was one of the most well-known and also one of the most feared guys in high school. And so everybody knew him and most people liked him, some people didn't, but if you didn't like him, then you feared him type of guy. Well, we were on the baseball field one day. And a guy was, not him, but another player was fielding a ground ball. He missed the ground ball, and he said God's name in kind of in a derogatory way. Well, my buddy over here is like, hey, we don't take the Lord's name in vain around here. And I just kind of chuckled. I'm like, really? You don't? You don't take his name in vain? We don't take his name in vain around here? I was like, well, maybe you should check yourself a little bit. Because if you're, because he would claim to be a Christian. He would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, like just kind of like a lot of Southern people do. It's like, you know, my grandparents went to church or I went to church, you know, a few times. So I'm a Christian. That makes me a Christian when they're not a Christian at all. And so, like, he would claim that. And I'm like, buddy, you're taking his name in vain just as much as that guy just did. Because you're claiming to be a Christian and you're saying that you're a follower of Jesus, but yet you're living totally against what he's commanded. You are taking his name in vain just as much as the guy who said it. Listen, Christians in the South are really terrible about this. We can live with the world, but then we come to church and we know all the Christian cliches and we know how we're to talk in church and we can make people think like, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. Or we can just maybe show up every week and then it's like, okay, you're a good Christian boy, but then when you go home, like, you have no representation of Christ in your life whatsoever. But hey, they're at church every week, but yet their life doesn't reflect anything about Christ. When we take on his name, but yet we do not live in a way that reflects Christ and his honor and who he is, his holiness, his beauty, then we are taking his name in vain. Sixth, we make a bunch of rules in God's name. Think about the Pharisees with me. The Pharisees were all about the rule. They love these commandments. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. The Pharisees love these commandments more than you love these commandments. They did. They love these commandments so much that they put all sorts of rules around these commandments. So they had commandments on top of commandments on top of commandments on top of commandments. They loved the rules. They had the laws requiring tithes and fasting and how everything, modesty, whatever. They had rules on top of rules on top of rules. And you know what they missed? Jesus. They missed what all these things were pointing to, their need for Christ. They were more concerned with the rules than they were with Jesus. And for us, rather than trusting in the gospel for their righteousness, we live and preach to the world a checklist of things you need to do and not do. Listen, when we just put off to the world, it's like, oh, it's just a list I'm trying to check off, we're showing a works-based righteousness to them. We're saying, this is what makes me right with God, so I need to do these things, or these are things I don't do. If I don't do these things, we're good with God. And granted, I'm not saying there's not truth to that. Is God pleased when we do his commandments and we do his will? Absolutely. But those things don't give us favor with God in the sense that he loves us anymore. Listen, we're accepted. God accepts us where we are, and yes, he changes us to be more like him, and we want to strive to be more like him. But when we just live our lives in a way it's like, okay, I need to do this, check it off, do this, check it off, do this, check it off, we're not portraying God in the right way to our family and our friends and our neighbors. We're saying it's like God's more about our works righteousness than he is about his righteousness that he gives to us because we aren't righteous in our own sense. We need his righteousness. We can't be righteous enough for him. But yet when we live in a way that's only about, hey, we got to do this, let's check it off, like the Pharisees were, we miss Jesus, and your neighbors and your friends miss Jesus because that's who you're portraying to them. It's not about grace righteousness. It's about works righteousness. And so I hope through all those things that you kind of see, it's like we break this commandment more than we probably realize. It's not just about, oh, you said something, God's name in a wrong way. It's about the way that we live our life too and how we portray God's name through the way that we live. Are we bear his name? Are we bearing his name correctly? Are we worshiping in a way that honors and reveres his name? Are we taking his name lightly? So the question then becomes, why is it so important to not take his name in vain? Why is this third commandment important? Look at verse 17 through 20 again in Acts, okay? This is why the third commandment is so important. It says, when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was held in high honor. which is what we want. But listen to what happens when his name is revered and held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. That is why we want God's name honored and revered in everything that we do, because this story has the conclusion of why the third commandment is so important. When God's name is honored, his kingdom grows. And this story shows that there is a clear connection between honoring God's name and the spread of the gospel. When Jesus' name is lifted up, when his name is exalted, people come to him for salvation. Listen, when as Christians we belittle his name and we don't take his name and we don't honor his name like it should be honored, they see no need to come for him's salvation because they don't see it in our lives. Therefore, keeping this third commandment is extremely important. Not only is it lawful to do it because God commanded it, but when we do it, sinners believe and are saved. So the application for this commandment is this. As servants of Jesus, we want to do everything we can to honor God's name so that others can know that his name is the name above all names. You know, I have a feeling the commandments we don't think the most about are probably the ones that we break the most, if that makes sense. Typically, these first 3 to 4 commandments, we don't think much about because we just think, hey, I'm good with these, you know. I don't have any idols, you know, in front of me. I'm not saying his name improperly or whatever. I'm coming to church on the Sabbath and stuff. But in reality, when we really look in depth at these, the ones that we give less thought to are the ones we probably are breaking the most. God says that if we confess our sins, then he'll forgive us of our sins. And that's the great thing about God. He is full of grace. Yes, we break this on a daily basis, but he is able and just to forgive us of our sins. There was a curse on sin that justice demanded to be paid. And God said that in Genesis, that once someone had to die for those sins. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross for those sins, for our breaking the third commandment. He satisfied the curse of sin, justice was served, and because of Jesus, we can be released from that curse. And because of Jesus, because Jesus shared in my death, I can now share in his resurrection. My life can be changed because of Jesus. Because he died for me, I can live. And that's what the whole point of these commandments are. It's that it shows us how short we fall on his scale of righteousness. We are falling so far short of the standard that he has set. And it just shows us continually our need for Jesus, our need for Jesus, our need for Jesus. Now, here's the cool thing about this. On the cross, Jesus actually wore my name. He died for my sins. Jesus was sinless. He died for my sins. He actually wore my name on that cross because it was my sins that put him up there, and it was your sins that put him up there as well. But see the irony here. Ultimately, Jesus died because of my name, yet in the end, it is his name that I claim to where I can live eternally. See, there's no power in my name. There's power in his name. Because it's in his name that I can find and you can find salvation. And that's why we don't take his name lightly. We want to honor it. We want to revere it. Because in his name, there's salvation. In his name, there is forgiveness. In his name, there's eternal life. So we want to honor it. We want to revere it. We want to make sure that the way that we talk and the way that we live honors, reveres, and gives God the reputation that he deserves. That he's just not a gimmick, he's just not something we throw out there, but it's something that's ingrained in us and comes out every day in our life. Do you realize that you need this more than you know. You need his salvation. You need his grace. We break these commandments more than we realize. And each and every day, we need his grace more and more and more. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you're saying, it's like, you know what, Pastor? I break this command probably more so than I know. There's grace for you. You can repent. Then God can continue moving you to making you look more like Christ each and every day. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ and you're like, Danny, I'm seeing now that I need Jesus. I'm seeing now that my sin is so great, I can't save myself. I need Jesus to save me of my sins. Well, today you can find forgiveness in Jesus. So whatever it is, you just be obedient. But let me go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, we thank you for the grace that's been given to us. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you will show us our hearts today. Show us where we fail you. Show us, Father, how much we need Jesus. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will be obedient to what you're calling us, that Father, that we'll act in repentance, and Father, that we'll act wanting to know you more, Father, and Lord, that we will want to honor and revere your name above anything else. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.